Sing Canto 1st, Chapter 2nd, Text Number 6. Can you repeat after me? Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahituki Apratihata Ayatma Suprasidati. I think first we can repeat. Somebody can repeat. Yes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. Sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for human beings. One is called Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nivritti Marg, the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahmabhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just the futile attempt to get rid of miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases duration. Therefore, devotional service to Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, furtive activity, philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. We are purposely denoted dharma and occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relation with Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the eternal pivot of living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is a complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relationship is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in the transcendental loving service of Lord, even in the present conditioned state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. It's nice. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapanandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so this is, I think, very important and very relishable verse. And many commentators also have written a long commentary on this verse. Because there are some important points we should understand. Now, Sukhdeva Goswami says, in the first line, Savaya Pumsam Paro Dharma. Sa in Sanskrit means he, and it also means that. Sukhdeva Goswami says that, why means certainly, indeed. That indeed is Paro Dharma, supreme occupation. So question is, why Sukhdeva Goswami is using this word why? Why means indeed, certainly. Now in Sanskrit, or even in, I mean to say great people, it's a quality of great people to use less words and more meaning. If you read Nectar of Devotion, this is one of the Krishna's quality. Prabhupada says Krishna is one of qualities grave. He's very grave. And he defines grave as, grave doesn't mean serious. It's not serious. Krishna laughs, you know, he's always laughing. He's not just serious, and I mean, he's laughing here also in deity's form. So he's gravity means one whose actions and plans cannot be understood. Gravity means one whose words cannot be understood. So Krishna speaks more, but whatever he speaks, it has much more meaning to it. That is why it is said in scriptures, fools keep on speaking with no content, no meaning at all. They just keep on blabbering. But wise people, they speak less but have a lot of meaning in their words. Just like Lord Rama. Krishna has unique qualities. From one action, he will attain many results. That is Krishna. For us, it's entirely opposite. We'll do so many actions and no results. We are like messed up, all of us. So just like Lord Ram, Bali asked Lord Rama to shoot arrows, Sugriv. Yeah, Sugriv, yeah. Sugriv asked help from Lord Ram, and he asked Lord Rama, please help me to kill Bali. And Sugriv told Ram, well, let me test you first, because I don't know how much power you have, because Bali is very strong. Bali could even kill Ravan like that. He was very strong. In scriptures it is said once Bali was doing his Gayatri, his whatever puja he was doing. And Ravan came and challenged Bali. Bali, fight with me. Bali told, you know, hang on, I'm doing some worship. Don't disturb me. Ravan told, I am Ravan, you know, you're nonsense, I'll kill you. So Bali took him and he held him into his arm. And Ravan couldn't do anything. He was shouting, save me, and Bali was doing his meditation and worship, and Ravan, all the time Ravan was here just. And then Bali used to go all four dhams in one day. Like there are four dhams, Badrikashram in north, in east Jagannath Puri, in south Rameshwaram, and west Dwarka, Char Dham Yatra. So Bali used to, every day he used to, because he was a monkey, like not exactly a monkey, but Kim Purush, he used to jump and go there and then there. And Ravan was with him. He jumped from Jagannath Puri to Badrikashram along with Ravan. Here he was just shouting, you know, he couldn't do anything. That Ravan which could lift Kailash Parvat, who had so much power, all three planetary systems, they were fearful for him. But for Bali, he was a kid. So Sugriv knew how much power he had. Sugriv asked Ram, can you prove to me how much power you have? So Ram told, okay, what test do you want? So he told, see, these are seven trees. If you can shoot them with one arrow in a single go and get them down, I can understand that you're powerful, because these trees are, because Bali cannot even pluck even a leaf of one of the single tree. These trees are something special. So Ram told, okay, that's it. He took his bow and arrow. He shot an arrow, and that arrow went through all the seven trees and they're down. Well, I told you, Krishna or Rama, they like to do many, they like to achieve many results from one action. So Madhvacharya says that arrow, then went to Patal Lok, down. And it killed one of the demon. There were many demons there, it killed them. And then it went up to heavenly planets. It blessed the demigods. And then it went to one of the desert on this earthly planet. There were sinful people, it killed them. And then it came back to Lord Ram. So he achieved many things from one action. Many meanings from one word. If you read Bhagavad Gita, for one verse we have 1,000 meanings. For one verse, 1,000 explanations for one verse. You can keep on going. It's all scriptures. So, my question is, why does Krishna say vai in this verse? Oh, that verse is gone. Vai means indeed. Krishna, Sukhdeva Goswami says vai. Sukhdeva Goswami is also very, he is also Shuka Mahamuni. In South India, they call Shuka Mahamuni. Muni means who can think, who can understand, contemplate. So, Sukhdeva Goswami is certainly vai. Because he is emphasizing on the point that the highest dharma, highest duty of any living being is devotion. But why he is emphasizing? To help us understand that devotion in its mature stage, prema bhakti, savai pamsam paro dharma, paro means highest, highest means prema bhakti and sadhana bhakti, both can give you the same results. That's what Sukhdeva Goswami is saying. Both are supreme. Even in the stage of sadhana, Krishna is equally merciful as in the stage of prema bhakti. Equally merciful. But the point is, in the stage of sadhana, we are not able to receive his mercy. He is giving from his end. He always welcomes. Problem is, With us. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, we all know Nama Prad, Nama Bhas, and Shuddhanam stage. You all know this? So, offensive stage, Nama Bhas, and Shuddhanam. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says one of his articles in Bengali. He says, Nama Prad stage is dangerous, but Nama Bhas stage is very, very dangerous. So we think when we are new, we are in a dangerous position. But actually when we are advanced, we are in more dangerous position. You have to, because as we advance, Maya is also advancing her efforts. She won't let us go. So when we are new, Maya doesn't care for us. She can, I don't have to even bother about him, you know. They are already in illusion, you know. They are just new people, okay. She can just blow, you know, and we are gone. But when we advance, when we start attaining Krishna's mercy, she'll become very powerful. She'll try to trick us. And we can't understand her ways. It's very difficult to understand. Many, many big sannyasis in all institutions, in our institution also, they've fallen. And history repeats. We can't trust Maya. But I think more dangerous than Maya, Bhakti Sandra Saraswati Thakur says, more dangerous than Maya is we ourselves. We don't know how much harm we can do to our own self. The day we can realize that Maya is not dangerous, we are dangerous, that day is the first day, is a door to liberation. We assume that we are okay. We speculate that that Maya is attacking us. But Maya doesn't have to do anything with us if we don't harm ourselves. Mahaprabhu said, Ji bhogvancha kari, Maya tare nikataste jhapatiya dhari. Maya is behind us. She'll only affect us if we try to enjoy. That's all. So we have to keep in mind, we are here. Krishna wants to give us something, but we have to take it. That's all. There's sun. Sunlight is available to everybody. But we must prepare ourselves to take that. And to prepare yourself, we need two qualifications, which is said in this verse. Ahituki and apratihata. And that's very important. We should not stop putting efforts until unless we meet Krishna face to face. Prabhupada says, one day you can meet Krishna face to face. You can talk Krishna face to face just like we are talking to each other. So we are not satisfied doing many services. We are not satisfied chanting holy names. We will not be satisfied until one day we come here and Krishna talks to us. That's what is our goal. And if we are satisfied, and there are a lot of possibilities, we become satisfied and dull. After many years of devotion, it's very difficult to advance. We start thinking we are okay. We lose the sight of our goal. We forget. ISKCON life is quite hustle-bustle life, we all know. And there are so many services. While doing services, we forget what is the goal of life. Love of God. And we daily come here and have darshan of Krishna. But have we really thought any time, is Krishna pleased with me? We can see Krishna, but have we thought any moment, is Krishna seeing me? That matters. That only matters. Nothing else. Krishna has to see us. We can see Krishna till eternity. Kamsa was seeing Krishna. Oh, yeah. Kamsa was seeing Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was watching. He was seeing... Lord Narsingadev. He could see. Raman could see Ram. But they were demons. So it's not enough that we see Krishna. We want Krishna should see us. And that day we long for. That's what Rupa Goswami says. Oh, yeah, Raghunath Das Goswami says in one of his books, he has written a book, Stavavli. He says that I am living hope against hope. That's my life. I don't hope that Krishna will be merciful to me, because who am I? Who is Krishna? It's difficult. Krishna is Krishna and we. Jiva Goswami says, who am I and who are you, Krishna? And for me, I think it's almost impossible to attain you. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they can't attain him. And this impossibility to attain Krishna, that's the key to attain him. Actually, that is the key to attain him. Because in fact, Srila Prabhupada also writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because when we can realize that Krishna is impossible to attain, not just possible to attain, when we can realize that Krishna's mercy is very difficult to attain, very rare, then we can be humble. So that is the foundation of humbleness. Devotee has intense desire to attain Krishna. At the same time, he knows he is impossible. Then heart will start praying, oh Krishna, please be merciful to me. And I know, I'm not qualified. But at the same time, I also know that nothing is impossible for you. You can do impossible possible. So then humility will come. True humility. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written an article in Gaudiya. He writes, there are three types of humility. One is kapardanya. One is, in English we can call as, materialistic humility, superficial humility, and true humility. Now this might be very new to all of us. When I read it, was new to me. Even Prabhupada also mentions here. Materialistic humility is humility for some purpose. So person is trying to be humble, but he wants something in his heart. He wants some money or something. Superficial humility is humility externally, but internally he is not humble. That's superficial humility. That's kapat, hypocrisy. So externally we are showing that we are humble, but internally we are not thinking, our thoughts are not pure. Our attitude is not correct. And Srila Prabhupada tells, by the way, in Nectar of Instruction preface, Srila Prabhupada tells, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. If you can note that line, just keep that line in your mind. That's, Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, attitude is a key. Prabhupada doesn't say Hare Krishna is a key. He never said that in that book. Nectar of Devotion, that is our book, law book. He never said holy name is a key. Of course, we know holy name is a foundation of our movement. He never said temples are the key. No, but temples are necessary. He never said books are the key, but books are the basis. He said attitude is a key. Attitude is of the follower will define his advancement. And what does attitude mean? Attitude means whatever you are out, you're in. Whatever you show, whatever you speak on the dais, you practice without the dais. Whatever you speak, you act. Whatever you act, you speak. That is the attitude. Attitude is very important. We have to keep focus on attitude. We are chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds. Srila Prabhupada used to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds. We sometimes chant more than 16 rounds, but Prabhupada didn't chant more than 16 rounds after he was so busy in his con management. He was chanting 16 rounds. But we sometimes chant 64 rounds also, sometimes maybe 20, 25 rounds. So we are chanting, he is chanting, other devotees are chanting, we are staying, other devotees were staying. But there was a difference between his chanting and our chanting. Why? Question is why? Question, it's not enough to glorify Prabhupada. That's not really enough. We can say Jai Srila Prabhupada, that's very nice. But we have to understand why Prabhupada and all other advanced devotees, Prabhupada is anyway unique. But as far as Prabhupada said, do as I am doing. So why he was getting results and why not we? We are following the same process. If we keep on going like this, and if we don't ask this question, why, we'll end up in frustration, 100%. Because how long we can go? How long we can keep on chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, if you don't answer this question, why am I not experiencing love? Let us be true to ourselves. We are not experiencing love. Nobody is experiencing love. We are experiencing bliss, of course. But Rupa Goswami says, that is shadow of true love. It's not true love. That's for sure, because there are signs of true love. It's true love is different. If you are in truly love with Krishna, you'll not sleep. That's all. You can't sleep. Vishwa Chakravarti Thakur, he couldn't sleep. If you're truly in love of Krishna, you can die for him millions of times. If you're truly in love of Krishna, Krishna will test you. If you're truly in love with Krishna, you will have some miseries in your life. Might, you know, Pandavas had so many miseries. Some kind of test, something. That's a symptom of love. There are many other symptoms anyway. So we don't have love. We experience some kind of asakti, ruchi. That's good. That's not bad. But we have to admit, we are not on the highest platform. But now the question is, why we are not developing love? Why we are not approaching love of God in spite of so many years in Krishna consciousness, in spite of so much chanting and whatever we are doing? Why? And Srila Prabhupada said, if we don't answer this question, one day will come when we will say, my spiritual master has put this Krishna as a burden on me. Prabhupada says, one day will come when we will say, how long this Mahamantra is going to remain Mahamantra with me? I'm sick of it. Chanting same things. It can come. We can think it can't come. This day can't come for us. But it can come. You know what? I went to Jaipur. There's one place, Salemabad. You know Nimbark Sampradaya? There's a Nimbark Sampradaya. And I met the head of Nimbark Sampradaya, Shriji Maharaj. I met him. And he took sannyas at the age of 8 years. You can imagine. And now he's 80 years. And his guru took sannyas at the age of 5 years. And he is now 95 years. Well, he is sannyasi more than all of us how much life we have. And he was telling to me, I asked him that please instruct me any realizations you want. So he told, always remember, he gave the example. He told, when I went to my guru, he was 80 years, like 75 years of sannyas. He had opened all his books, Bhagavatam, Mahabharat, Gita, and he told me, I have one doubt after so many years. So Shriji Maharaj asked, what doubt you have? He told, I have a doubt whether Krishna is supreme or not. And I was thinking, what he's saying? His guru, 75 years sannyas, after so many years he had this doubt whether Krishna is supreme or not. It can happen with us. We can't underestimate illusion. We can't underestimate Maya. So we have to be careful. Bottom line is, we have to be careful. Careful means we have to confront fundamental questions. We can't avoid that. And the most fundamental question is, why we don't have love? If this process is so beautiful, so fast, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful, still in spite of chanting, we have not achieved a goal. We might be feeling happiness, but what about goal? Answer lies in these two words, ahetuki, apratihata. Sukhdeva Goswami is helping us to understand how to advance in devotional life. So why we are not advancing? Well, everybody has different problems, but all problems will lie in these two words. One word is ahetuki. So Sukhdeva Goswami says that our devotion should be causeless. Ahituki means without hetu. Should be causeless. Causeless means that it should have no ulterior motives. Srila Prabhupada says here, devotion should not have ulterior motives. Motive for any material, any matter, money. Motive also for a philosophical, intellectual satisfaction. That is gyan. We don't want that also. Our only motive to serve Krishna is Krishna himself. That's all. If Krishna comes today and he asks you, okay, what do you want to tell me? What should be our first statement? If Krishna asks us, why do you want to serve me? There are many answers for that. So what should be our first answer? We have to be careful, no? Our first answer to Krishna is, Krishna, we want to serve you for you. That's all. Nothing else. Gopis. When they met Krishna in Ras Lila, Krishna asked them, why have you come here? So what did gopis say? Now if you read carefully those verses and you start reading that, the first line, gopis, if you analyze it, gopis said, Vishwanathakur Thakur says, gopis says, Krishna, we have come to you so that you can exploit us. That's a very good answer. Excellent answer. So, devotion begins, we are servant of Lord. Devotion advances, we want to be controlled by Lord. And the pinnacle of devotion is, we want to be exploited by Lord. And that's what Mahaprabhu said. Ashlishyava atmatratam pinashtumam. O Krishna, you accept me or trample me. Still I am going to serve you birth after birth. That I am quoting Mahaprabhu in other words. He said, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Okay, let me serve you birth after birth. It begins from here. And then he said, ashlishyava apadratam vinashtumam. That is, please exploit me. Even you can use me in your service, then throw me off. You don't give me mercy, no problem. So we have not come to Krishna for mercy. That's not our agenda. That happens. Krishna will anyway be merciful to you. But our agenda is, Krishna will become very happy if you tell Krishna, I don't want mercy. If you don't want to give, no problem. But use me in your service. Oh, there was one devotee, one Maharaj in Gaudiya Math. And it's mentioned in Gaudiya's. He went to Bhakti Siddhanta. I think he was almost the same age of Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj. He was quite known. So he was quite long in Gaudiya Math. He went to Bhakti Siddhanta. He asked him that Bhaktivinoda Saraswati Maharaj, he was called Prabhupada. He told Prabhupada, I am serving Gaudiya Mission for so many years. What did I get? I didn't get anything. I have no money. I am a sannyasi. And I have no bank account. I have no family. I am just serving here. And I didn't get anything. And Bhakti Sananda started weeping. He had tears in his eyes. And he told that, anyway, you are asking me this question, but this question is with many people, but they don't ask me. I know. But always keep in mind that service is a reward of service. That's all. Srila Prabhupada tells, service is a reward of service. We are not here to get anything. We are here to give something. That's the idea. In material life, we were always trying to get. I want. If we do the same thing here, I want to become pure. I want to get mercy. I want to become happy. That's not the complete picture. That's okay. That's required. But for what? We are here to give. We are here to give Krishna happiness. Prabhupada says here, this will gradually give one the clue to the actual life. This will gradually give one the clue to actual life. Prabhupada uses the word clue. This is a clue. The clue is that don't forget yourself. That's all. That's all. Finish. Forget yourself. Krishna, you want to keep us impure? Okay, fine. That's all. If you want that. I just want to serve you and please you, and that's it. If I at all want to become pure, that is to please you, not for myself. If I at all want to attain your mercy, that is to give you back that mercy in the form of service. That is what is ahituki. Ahituki means the very fact that we have come here to give Krishna and not to take from him. If we can understand this clue, we are done. We are okay with devotional service. We can advance. And Krishna also means devotees. We are here to give devotees. And the second thing is apratihata. Apratihata means that devotional service cannot be stopped. Pratihat means stop. Apratihat means which cannot be stopped. We should do devotion in such a way that no circumstance, no time, no place should be able to stop us. There will be, and there are many problems in life. You can't avoid that. And there will be, even though you are in temple, even though you are in the best position, still there will be problems. We can't avoid. Anybody who tries to avoid problem, that in itself is a problem. Because Lord Brahma said to Kumaras, there was a discussion between Kumar and Brahmas in Bhagavatam. Four Kumaras, they came to Brahma and they told, my dear Brahma, mind is a problem. How to get rid of it? Brahma meditated for many years. He couldn't find an answer. And he told, it's impossible to separate mind from this word, because mind and word are one. Word is in mind and mind is in matter. Matter is in mind. It's impossible. They couldn't find answer. So then Hamsa avatar came. Krishna came in form of Hamsa. And he told, Brahma, you are fool, and Kumaras, you both are fools. You all are fools. Because this question is wrong. How to separate mind from matter? It is wrong. You have to understand that you are not this mind. That's the trick. Don't try to separate mind from matter. Get beyond mind. This is the point. We don't have to try to solve problems. We have to get beyond the problems. That's the idea. And how to do it? How to do it? Apratiyata. Apratiyata. Many problems will come. Okay, fine. Just like a neighbor. We have a neighbor. If your neighbor is doing whatever he does, it doesn't bother us. So we have to understand our mind is our neighbor. It is not we. Okay, mind. You think whatever you want to think. I don't care about you. I am soul. I have to serve Krishna. To hell with you. That's all. This can solve all problems. All problems. In one go. And that is Bhagavad Gita. All yogis, jnanis, they were trying to fight with mind, but they lost. So Krishna told right in beginning, okay, parasastu hisa, manasastu parabuddhir parasastu hisa. If you can do this, finish. That is apratiyata. So mind will not be able to block your path. No bodily circumstance. And the only way to make actually devotion uninterrupted is to understand that all problems, even if they are problems, they are mercy of Lord. That's the idea, no? Just like mother, she slaps a child. Child might think my mother, mama is bad. But when he grows up, he understands, so that was good for me. So, all problems in life, Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, that problems in life is mercy of God. Pains in the body, when you become old, body will pain definitely, even now. So what is that pain? That pain will make you remember the pain of separation from Lord. And that was really nice. I read, Prabhupada says in Bhagavatam, I don't know which canto, Prabhupada says that pain in body will make pure devotees remember the pain of separation from Lord. Why? Because this pain in material world is a reflection of pain of separation from Lord. That is what Lord Chaitanya has come to give us. Lord Chaitanya has come to give us love and separation. Of course, separation without attachment has no meaning. That's one thing. But what about his gift? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if we don't try to achieve that platform of love and separation before death, Lord Chaitanya will become very hurt. If I come to give you a gift and if you don't accept it, what happens? I feel bad, no? You don't accept my gift. Lord Chaitanya has come to give a gift and if you don't accept it, it makes Lord Chaitanya very distressed, you know. I came so far from Golok and for them and I'm freely distributing and then they don't want that. Or they are unable to receive that. It's a duty to achieve that platform of love and separation. And how to do that? To do that, we have to have a proper attitude. That's what Sukhdeva Goswami is saying. Proper attitude is when a devotion is uninterrupted. How? When you see all sufferings in this material world is reflection of sufferings from separation from God. Then we can remember that goal. Okay, fine. It is a goal. Love and separation is worshipable for us. We have to achieve it somehow. Prabhupada says, whatever temples, whatever we are doing in Krishna consciousness, the first business of temples is to understand Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, I think this is a lecture in Gorakhpur in 1976. Exact quote I forgot, but it's right there in the end of his, peak of this con. Prabhupada says, the first business of temples is to discuss Bhagavatam. This 1 hour we are discussing. This is what we are supposed to do. Bhakti Chandra Saraswati Maharaj used to lecture for 8 hours. He used to begin Bhagavatam now, and he used to keep on speaking. And people used to sit, and of course people cannot hear, you know, ordinary people. They'll go back, they'll take bath, sleep, come back, and Bhakti Chandra is speaking. It was funny. And then in between somebody will go have breakfast, they'll come and he's speaking. And then some of his disciples, you know, they'll be with watch, they will be, you know, it's time. And anybody used to show watch to Bhakti Chandra used to tell, see, he's trying to stop me. He's trying to stop Hari Katha. He's a demon. And so nobody dared to stop him. That is a zeal of speaking. And that zeal should be there for hearing. And then we'll advance. This is what we have to do. Every day we have to discuss. Narottam Das Thakur, he used to discuss Bhagavatam daily for around 4 hours daily in the evening. If you read Bhakti Ratnakar, there's a schedule of Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya. Every evening they used to discuss 4 or 5 hours Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu, he used to discuss every verse nicely. So that's what we have to remember here, that if we do devotion like that, if we have no cause for our devotion, if we are coming to Krishna for the sake of Krishna, not for ourselves, if we can perceive Krishna's mercy in all our situations, even in pain. If you can perceive that Krishna has given me sufferings to make me understand that the goal of my life is to suffer in separation from Him. If you can understand that, that is a clue, Prabhupada says, that is a clue. But to get that wisdom, it takes time. Not to make knowledge into wisdom, it takes time. It takes a lot of discussions. It might take a lot of contemplation. We have to. If we don't do in this life, we have to do next life. If we don't do in next life, we have to do next life. That's all. You can't avoid it. We have to do it in association of devotees. That's good. And if we do this, yatma suprasidati. So here's a secret here. Sukhdeva Goswami says, if we do this, atma suprasidati. Suprasidati means satisfied. Prasidati means satisfied. Suprasidati means completely satisfied. Atma means soul. If we do devotion like this, our soul will be completely satisfied. Here, atma means both soul and super soul. So Vallabhacharya says, if we do devotion like this, soul will be satisfied completely, and super soul, Krishna will be satisfied. Or let me put it other way around. Because Krishna will be completely satisfied, Prabhupada says, we will be completely satisfied. There is no possibility of us becoming completely satisfied without making Krishna completely satisfied. So that's automatic. And that's what is the aim of life. Please Him. Actually, this small H, but it should, please Him means capital H. Please Him to complete satisfaction. This is very, that complete word is very, very important. Prabhupada says in one of His purport, we have to satisfy Krishna in all respects. Not just satisfy Him. So what that means, our chanting should be perfect. Our service should be perfect. Our reading should be perfect. Our walking, our talking, our sitting, everything should be perfect. We are not here to give Krishna satisfaction only by one thing. We have to be all-rounder. Krishna is all-rounder, no? Rupa Goswami says, the first name of Krishna in Nectar of Devotion, Rasik Shekhar. If you read, I think in English, Prabhupada mentions, reservoir of all transcendental mellows. I think Prabhupada defines like that. I forgot. Rasik Shekhar, Krishna is all-rounder. He wants to enjoy all rasas, all services. And as a servant, our business should be give Krishna enjoyment from all angles, from all perspectives. That is what we are here for. The more we do, the more Krishna will be happy. And that is why Krishna says, out of millions of people, only one will attain devotion. But out of millions of devotees, only one will attain me. Who is that? And why is that? After so many devotees, one will attain Krishna. Who will attain Krishna? Who can understand all these things? Who can discuss? It takes time, but let us at least not forget that we have to do this business. We can't just go on like that. We have to finish our purpose here. Whether we are in ISKCON, whether we are in any other institution, we have to be in ISKCON. Of course, we have to be in ISKCON, Prabhupada says. But Prabhupada also says, Chaitanya Charitamrita, only institution will not help you to attain Krishna. Prabhupada says Himself. So wherever we are, before death, we should experience love of God. If we can't, that's no problem. Krishna says, if you can't experience love, if you have served me nicely, at the time of death, I'll come and take you back. That's, of course, Krishna says. That's no problem. But Mahaprabhu has not come to give you Golok. Mahaprabhu has come to give you love. Krishna Prem Pumarto Mahan. Mahaprabhu doesn't say, Krishna Golok Pumarto Mahan. He has not come here to give you the abode of Krishna. That you will automatically get. He has come you to give the experience of love for Krishna. And that is our duty, to experience that in this life. That's what Mahaprabhu's gift is. So let us, anyway, you know, I think this lecture I'm speaking for myself, not for you all, because many of you are quite senior. And I like to make myself remember that don't be lazy. You have to advance. We forget that, and we generally become lax, maybe mentally, bodily, or intellectually. we must advance. So that, why should we attain love of God? We have to attain love of God. Why? Oh, this is a big question, actually. So, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book, Jaiva Dharma. In that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the end, he raises this question, why should we attain love of God? So, why? For our own business or what? No, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you should attain love of God because that will please Krishna. That's all. That will make Mahaprabhu very happy. Oh, he took my gift. That's what I am here. And that should be our first business. We should not forget our first business in ISKCON. This is the only business we are here for. If we forget this, no matter what we are doing, at the end of the day, it becomes waste, you know, what we are doing. So please remember this. At least I should remember this. And anyway, thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yeah. Yeah, it's an extreme, it's an extreme statement.
So my immediate thought was, we're born in the darkness and ignorance, and everything is black, everything is dark, we're tripping over furniture, we don't know where we're going, who we are, we don't know ourselves. Guru opens the eyes of the torchlight and knowledge.
Yeah.
Once the lights are on, everything is certain, everything becomes obvious. So why this group of sages, why they would use that kind of language?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah, there are many reasons like that.
Like you said, the temples are created for discussing this Bhagavad Gita. So this is a science, and as we advance, it's our duty to enlighten Dushanti Cha, Ramanti Cha, satisfaction in this, enlightening one another. That's our whole purpose. As long as we can simply remain following, then our inheritance is guaranteed.
Yeah, actually, that's okay. This word "vai" certainly all acharyas what they are commenting that he uses "vai" because generally we think that full satisfaction we'll attain when we'll get love, prema bhakti. But Sukhdeva Goswami has in mind that no, not only in prema bhakti but in sadhana bhakti also you can get complete satisfaction. That's why he using certainly. It is certain that you will become completely satisfied irrespective of what stage of devotion you are, if you are sincere. That's why he's using certain. It's not that in initial stages you are not completely satisfied, only in prema bhakti you are satisfied. It doesn't happen like that. So that's why, keeping that point in mind, if you are sincere, even in sadhana bhakti, we can experience that complete satisfaction. But of course, the point is, in sadhana bhakti, we'll lose it. Sometimes we'll experience and then we'll lose. And then we'll experience and then we'll lose. But prema bhakti, it is always there. That is the difference. And Rupa Goswami says in sadhana bhakti, our experience of devotion is anishthita. It goes like this. Sometimes we feel so happy, so completely satisfied. Everybody feels, no? Oh yeah, nothing is there in life. Everybody has this feeling. But then it goes. So Sukhdeva Goswami says, don't worry. This deflection what Krishna is giving, it will become stable after some time. But for other processes, it's not like that. For jnana and karma yoga, it's not like that. Complete satisfaction you'll attain after you perfect yourself. But not with devotion. That is why by this word vai is glorifying devotional service. That's the idea. Every word of Bhagavatam is glorifying bhakti. And by this, he is glorifying sadhana bhakti also. Not only prema bhakti. Any other process, sadhana is not glorified. There are so many problems. But bhakti, sadhana is also glorified. Shravan kirtan, that's also glorified. That's the idea behind using this word vai. According to acharyas. So
as I was saying before you cut me off, I was leading to the point that Prabhupada said many times this process is simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the 15th chapter, if we can use that sort of detachment, to simply cut away all the unnecessary things and become simple.
Yeah.
The process itself becomes very simple.
Yeah.
I enjoyed your class, but also some parts were not so encouraging because you made it sound so difficult.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, you know, I just purposefully put the difficult picture of devotion. And that's what I was telling. We should not forget. We should have both ideas. It's simple. At the same time, it's difficult. Both things should be there. Reality, we can't run away from reality. Everybody knows we are practicing devotion. Everybody knows it's not easy. We can't hide this fact. It's not easy to attain love. I mean, to say, we can say it's easy, but it's not easy. It's not easy even to get rid of one habit or to say of love of God. After so many years, we all know, yes, same habits, you know. So, okay, fine, it's difficult. But at the same time, it's easy because Krishna can make impossible possible. So both things we have to remember. So, and then we can understand real humility and we can feel separation from God. Because otherwise, why do we keep ourselves in illusion? That's the idea. So, it's good. It's difficult. But if Krishna is with us, nothing is difficult. Because He's all merciful. We have to be sincere on our part. Things will happen. That's the idea. That's why I purposefully told the difficult part. Because we are used to hear the easy part. Mostly in ISKCON, we are used to hear easy part. But I thought, let me show the difficult part. So that it balances, that's all. That's all. Any other questions or? Okay, there's no questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening.